Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Starting and operating a small business against all odds, living largely by your wits, you demonstrate more courage and devotion to a dream than any other non-military American in this century. All right, we are back. It's 13 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. And as promised, our special guest this hour is our good friend, Harold Lacy. Let me tell you a little bit about Harold. Harold has helped more than 700 businesses find their dreams through his 25 years' experience as a banker and with his intimate relationships with the U.S. Small Business Administration. He is a proven expert on helping people finance their business with other people's money, and that is even the name of his book, How to Finance Your Business Dreams with Other People's Money. Harold, welcome to the show.
Morning, Jim. How are you?
I'm great, sir. It's good to have you back with us, as always. And folks, as you will remember, Harold has been with us several times before, helping you to understand how to get your dream off the ground by using conventional and unconventional means of financing. Harold, what's been going on lately?
The market's been good, especially here in Colorado and the West. Things are expanding rapidly. We're starting to see some new companies come in, which creates a synergism for distributors and entrepreneurs starting to get into business and be able to put things together. Things are happening. But I think talking to some of my friends and some of my other clients throughout the United States, I can't think of any soft spot where I can say stay away from that area as far as starting a business.
Yeah. I was talking to someone, I've been talking to a few people in the last few months who have said that Colorado has been getting an infusion of people from California. A lot of people from California moving to Colorado.
Right.
Are they coming there to work, or are they coming there to run businesses? Are there businesses relocating there?
Both. We're having a lot of telecommunications and computer and digital cable, and a lot of those types of businesses and entrepreneurs and spinoffs and suppliers. It's a real synergistic type thing that, as you mentioned, we're seeing both. They're being transferred because of the companies, but then once they get out here, they're starting to see some niches and some opportunities that they can go off and develop a product or service that meets the needs of the company that transferred them out here to the industry itself.
Yeah, and of course, they're relocating in the Denver area there. I guess a lot of them, aren't they?
Exactly. And I think the airport here has been a major, major economic attraction because of the logistics
Is that airport operating pretty well now? I know there were a lot of problems initially.
The problems were mostly centered on that baggage system, that automated baggage system that they touted so much that was really unproven. They are using it on a limited basis, and I just saw where United was going to inject another $22 million to get that thing up and running and expand that for the future. So that part has been a disappointment with regards to the airport, but the rest of it, as far as the automated systems they have, have been working excellent.
Right. Folks, the phone number is 888-822-8255. That's the number to call if you would like to ask me or Harold Lacy a question about any kind of a business question, actually, but especially if you have a question about capitalizing your business, about getting a loan from a bank, about approaching a bank, about getting an SBA loan, about anything to do with the SBA loan programs. Harold is an expert in these matters. His book, there's a lot of information in his book, Financing Your Business Dreams with Other People's Money, which, by the way, I have a couple to give away if you want to call. And this is an outstanding book, folks, and if you'd like to call me and talk to us, answer one of my trivia questions, we'll be glad to give you a copy of Harold's book, Financing Your Business Dreams with Other People's Money. Harold, let's talk about one of the things I want to talk to you about are software programs. There's some new software programs out I know that you know about, which are designed to help people get business loans.
Right. I am a little bit leery of them. The ones I've seen are just made-over business plan software, which is more popular, such as BizPlan and Business Plan Pro, which is what the bankers and investors are looking for, and which we've discussed on your program
right.
before. And I think a lot of people are familiar with those.
Right.
But a lot
In fact, Tim Berry is the developer of Business Plan Pro,
yeah.
and he's a member of my brain trust.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. In fact, Tim's going to be with us this week on Wednesday.
Oh.
Tim's going to be with us. He's with us quite often. But yeah. those are real good business planning programs is what you're talking about.
Those are the two I recommend.
Yes.
And the problem with the loan software is that it, I think, is misleading the fact that people think they're going to get the loan and it's specifically geared to that. But it's just a different name for a business plan because the items they cover are exactly the same as what's covered in a business plan, such as the loan proposal, summary letter, executive summary,
yeah,
all that type of stuff.
Basically what they've done is they preyed on people's emotions a little bit and taken just a variation of a business planning software and just basically given it another name.
Exactly, and that's what people are interested in. They're interested in the loan, and when you mention to people, well, you're going to need a business plan, you know, they kind of blink their eyes several times, like, well, that's fine, but I really want the loan.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do the planning for the business.
Exactly.
They're more interested in the loan, the bank is requiring it, and so they think, well, a loan software package is probably more geared to getting the loan, and they're paying the extra money for that exactly.
Mm-hmm. So I see what you're saying. So they're standing there in a software retail store, or they're looking at a catalog or something, and what they need is the loan, and they're saying, okay, which one do I buy? Do I buy the business plan software? Do I buy the loan plan software, whatever it might be called? And I see what you're saying. And it may be that some of the loan programs offer a pretty good package. You may be able to develop a pretty good business plan with their software. It's just that it's probably not any more likely to get you a loan than just the regular software business plan programming like Business Plan Pro or one of the other ones.
Exactly. And I think that the templates and the questions that are generated in the BizPlan and the Business Plan Pro are a little bit more in-depth than the loan builders
and some of the types of software. There's a couple of other things that are available, too, that we'll talk about when we come right back after these messages. Folks, it's 20 after the hour. Harold Lacy is our special guest. He's our good friend. He's the author of Financing Your Business Dreams with Other People's Money. He and I will be back in just a few minutes. Give us a call, 888-822-8255. Stay with us, please. All right, we're back. It's 24 after the hour. I'm Jim Lassie, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Harold Lacy. He's our friend, and Harold's been with us quite a few times before. His book is called Financing Your Business Dreams with Other People's Money. And Harold, tell our audience how they can get your book.
Best sources are Amazon, Barnes & Noble on the Internet, or they can go to their local bookstore, which is Walden, Barnes & Noble, B. Dalton, Borders. It's carried with them.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they have to order it. As I mentioned on the last show, we sold out our first printing. We're in our second printing, and it's going well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because you were telling us last time how well things were going.
Going very well because I couldn't be happier. It's getting a lot of nice feedback from clients. And it's nice to see people out there making some things happen and that they have somewhere to go to spur them on with their dream.
Absolutely. And folks, in the back of the book, I shouldn't say in the back. It just happens to be at the back. But about the last fourth of the book is a financial resource guide, which shows you every state in the union where to go for help in getting assistance in your small business. It's where Harold has the names of the SBDCs. Harold, tell us a little bit about what's in this section. Tell us some more about
it. Sure. What I've tried to do in this section is combine with the front part of the section, which is basically a how-to and some of the inside secrets of obtaining financing, and combining that with the last half of the book of where to go, of the names, the phone numbers, the addresses of the different resources that are available, such as the SBDC, which is a free service of consulting and guidance provided for small businesses, the SBA centers, the minority loan centers,
mm-hmm.
the women loan centers, the different resources and grants that are available for each state, broken down by city, and the contacts that these people can go to, so they know once they have the information at the beginning, they know they're ready to go. They're ready to lock and load
Absolutely.
And go contact someone.
And folks, this section we're talking about here, Harold has in many cases the address is there,
yes.
but in every case the phone number is there, and so you can find the nearest site in your state or adjoining state if you live near a state line, where you can go to find information. As we said, about the SBA or about small business development centers or any other organization that might be able to help you find a loan to help you get some money for your business, but you won't find banks typically in here. That's not what this is for, because banks are on every corner. You know where those are. Harold, let's talk a little bit more about this the business planning issue. I know that you work with that a lot, and it amazes me. I have people come to me all the time wanting me to help them with a business plan,
mm-hmm.
and you know they say what you said. They said, you know, I just want the loan, because I ask them. First thing I do is I say, okay, why are we writing the business plan? And the first thing they do is they look at me like, what's wrong with you? You know, what do you mean? Why do I want a business plan? I want the loan. You know, and what they don't realize, and I try to tell them, is there are at least three different reasons to make a business plan. One is to get a loan from the bank. Two is to attract investors. And three, which is should be the underlying reason to do any business plan, which is to be able to know where you've been, where you are, and where you're going in your business. But it's amazing how many times business plans just get written, and they either get the loan or they don't, and then they go up on the shelf and they don't even look back at them.
Exactly. And the business plan software that we talked about, or just developing a business plan, is a good way of having a silent mentor or a partner who's asking some questions that need to be asked. Because as entrepreneurs, sometimes we kind of get caught solving problems, putting out fires, and we become a fireman. And we don't have a chance to really stand back away from the situation and take a look at what needs to be done. And that's the nice thing about the software packages and the business plan development, is that it asks those key questions mm-hmm. of defining who our target market is and what changes have taken place. It makes us start thinking. It really challenges us in a non-threatening way that you're prepared for the banker or the investors. You come across very confident when they ask that same question.
Absolutely.
And you're able to expound upon it. If it's brought up in the business plan or not covered, you've already addressed it. And if
all right.
you have it, you're missing out on one of the common denominators of all successful businesses. You take a look at the General Motors and the Walmarts and everything.
Harold, stand by. We've got to take a quick break. Folks, it's 29 after the hour, 888-822-8255. Come on back. We'll be here. All right. Welcome back, heroes. It's 33 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest this hour is our good friend Harold Lacy. He's the author of Financing Your Business Dreams with Other People's Money, and I have a couple of copies of Harold's book that I'd like to give away. All you have to do is answer one of my trivia questions. On this day in 1920, the League of Nations was established. What organization replaced the League of Nations? Here's another one. These are birthday questions. Ray Bolger was born on this day in 1904. Tell me the name of the movie, the classic movie that he starred in a long time ago, 50 years ago, probably 60 years ago. And also, Crystal Gayle is a country singer. She was born on this day also. But she has a sister who also is a very famous, an older sister who's a very famous country singer. I'd like to know what her sister's name is. Answer one of those three trivia questions, and I will send you a copy of Harold's book, Financing Your Business Dreams with Other People's Money, a very, very excellent book. 888-822-8255. Harold, I've got an email here from a guy named Ron. Let me read this email to you and get you to help me answer his question. He says, "Dear Jim, I am confident that I can secure an SBA business loan for my retail store. to start my retail business, I guess I should, yeah, I said, retail business. He says, however, they require 30% infusion of the total required to open the doors. I'm wondering where I might look to find a minority grant, for example, for this 30% requirement. Now, Harold, I'm assuming that Ron qualifies for a minority grant, or I guess he wouldn't ask that question. But his question, as I understand, it's not really all that well laid out here. It's a little bit confusing, but he's confident he can get an SBA loan, but they want him to have 30% of the money himself, and he thinks he might want to go for a grant. I don't think that's a good idea. What do you think?
And the thing about it is that he's got something that is marketable in talking to investors and angels and private parties, in the fact that he has already talked to the SBA, and they have given him some positive feedback that they are interested in the loan, except for the one requirement. He can use that as an entree and a selling point in talking to investors, the same that he has already met with the bank. He has already met with the SBA lenders, and they are excited about the loan. The one requirement they have is that he needs to look for some outside investors. So that's going to make the investors feel comfortable that the lender has already taken a look at it, and they are interested. That's critical, as opposed to, I need to raise the money and then go to the bank. That situation is a little bit tougher to sell.
Right.
So he has that going for him. Then all he needs to do is then use some of the techniques we talked about before, of using like the last one in approach to go to a group of investors. Say in this situation, he talked about 30%, his loan, use some numbers, $100,000. So he needs to raise $30,000. If I were him, I would be going to maybe two or three investors and saying, look, I've talked to the bank. They're interested. I need to raise some outside capital. I'm looking for three investors at $10,000 each, and you don't have to commit to it until I get the other two investors in.
Right.
Use that type of approach. So number one, you got one thing going for you is that you've got the SBA indicating an interest in it, which is positive. Number two is the person doesn't have to contribute their monies and sign that check until the other two people are in, and that gives
right.
them some confidence that there's other people out there willing to share the risk.
Yeah, but the tricky part for Ron, though, is that he's really got to have both commitments almost at the same time, because he can't get the loan without the 30%.
Exactly.
And as you say, I agree with the way you said to structure it, but the money should be there. What he's got to do, though, is he's almost got to have the $30,000 or the 30%, almost in an escrow type of situation, so that when the loan hits, that money is available.
Exactly. And it's contingent upon getting the approval. And
right.
That should make the investors feel very comfortable that this money is committed. It's in an escrow account. The contingency is that the loan has to be approved. So it's a win-win situation.
The thing that concerns me about Ron's question, though, is that he's looking to find a minority grant. I hope that the fact that he asked about a minority grant was because he didn't really understand about going after investment capital,
yeah.
rather than just that he was looking for a free lunch.
Yeah,
I really
exactly.
hope that, because one of the things that I wanted to tell Ron is the marketplace is not going to give you any grants. What it's going to do is eat you alive if your idea isn't viable and if you don't have enough working capital.
Exactly. Grants sound nice because it doesn't sound like there's any strings attached and there's not a repayment.
Yeah.
Extremely difficult to get.
Yeah, exactly.
And the amount of money that's available for those grants is usually tied to some political things and some paybacks of some other commitments. And
right.
Not what it's cracked up to be.
Right. Are there any SBA loans available at all that don't come through a bank?
Sure. What you're starting to get is what you called your small business development centers and funding agencies are getting into the lending business. as an adjunct to the bank.
Okay.
And they're coming up with special programs that are being funded with local private money.
I think I know what you're talking about. Stand by, Harold. We're going to talk about that when we come back. And we have a caller on the line, folks. We're going to talk to them when we come back right after these messages. 888-822-8255. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Our special guest is Harold Lacy. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It's 44 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our special guest is Harold Lacy. He's our good friend. He's been with us quite a few times before, talking about how to finance your business dreams with other people's money, which just happens to be the name of his excellent book that we've been talking about and that we like to give away on the show whenever we can. And Harold, Chuck tells me we have a caller. Who we got, Chuck?
We've got Mary in Niceville, Florida.
Hi, Mary.
Hello.
Are you there? Hi, Mary. How you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's a very interesting show. I enjoy it.
Thank you for saying that, and say hello to Harold Lacy.
Hello, Harold. How are you this morning?
I'm fine, Mary. I look at your state quite a bit on the map of all that sunshine and warmth this time of year.
Well, I tell you, it could use a little warmth today.
Mary, what can we do for you?
Well, I wanted to see if maybe I could win one of your books.
All right. You want to answer one of my trivia? Are you going to go for one of the easy ones? One of the hard ones.
I'll go for Crystal Gayle's sister is Loretta Lynn.
Good for you. Good. You're right.
Good. Good.
Yep. She's the coal miner's daughter, huh?
That's right. Uh-huh.
Good answer. Good for you, Mary. What do you do, Mary?
I'm a housewife.
Well, congratulations. What's the word for the politically correct
domestic
engineer? Are you a domestic engineer?
Well, that's true. You have to be that and something else, don't you?
You have to wear a lot of hats, don't you?
That's right.
If you've never done that, people don't realize how much organizational skills that requires.
I wanted to ask Harold a question, if I might.
Please go for it.
Harold, my son-in-law is trying to get into the ultralight plane. He wants to buy the kits and build them, and he's done this, but he is on Social Security disability and needs some money, you know, to go about getting the kits, and he doesn't know exactly how to go about doing it.
Okay. He's wanting to build the kits and sell them to...
As airplanes, you know, the ultralight airplanes.
Sure.
And he's gotten several of them and sold a couple of them, which, you know, people fly. But he's having, you know, difficulty because he doesn't have much income coming in. And
so he's looking for some working capital to buy the kits and develop some income and try to sell them. So
does he actually want to open up a storefront, so to speak?
Well, you don't really need a storefront. He has been joining several organizations, you know, where people who like to fly this type of thing, and he can actually assemble them, you know, in his, he has a large old kind of a shed in his backyard.
Right. Yeah. What do you think, Harold?
The nice idea here is that he has a targeted market and that he is doing some right things here, Mary, with regards to joining some of these organizations and starting to network with people who are involved in that particular industry and have a similar need. So, plus, coupled with the fact he's already done this a couple of times, he's got some experience. Two things I would be taking a look at. Number one is a combination of some prepayment, of someone that's interested in an ultralight. If he has someone already pre-sold,
a
security deposit, which can be used to purchase the machine. Then if he can get a combination of some investors, some small investors, that's going to reduce the amount he needs to provide the working capital for the time frame that's going to take to build this. So those are a couple of thoughts right off the top of my head that jump at me of some ideas I've seen work with other similar type products where it is an expensive outlay, but you've already have someone that is interested, and you can pre-sell them. You can pre-sell them very easily because he's already in the organization. He's already done a couple. He can provide referrals to these people of how they turned out and the quality and some of those things and address mm-hmm. that to develop a database of satisfied customers.
Yeah.
Mary, has he approached a bank at all?
No, because he really doesn't have, any very much capital to be able to get a loan.
Right. Well, you know, what he might want to think about doing is I don't know if he already has done this, but if he hasn't, I'd recommend that he develop some kind of a business plan. He's going to need that. He's going to need that for the investors that Harold's talking about, and he might be able to go get a small loan, maybe $5,000-$10,000 or so from a banker with something on paper showing showing that you're part of the country. There are this many ultralights flying, and there's this much demand for it, or whatever. You know, some kind of research on the market there. He might be able to get some. A small working capital loan from the bank.
Yeah.
It's a growing market because you're getting a lot of the baby boomers who getting into the age where they've accumulated some capital and they want to do something exciting, they want to do something different. Those are two big things that he has going for them. The market is expanding. These people have money. They want to do something different. Look at Dave Leninger, Remax, and the amount of money he spent
with
this balloon. Try to go fast here.
Harold, stand by. We've got to take a quick break. Mary, can you hang on for a second? Folks, we'll be right back. It's 50 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, Small Business Advocate. We will be right back. Stay with us. We are back. It's 54 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And by the way, folks, coming up in the next hour, Steve Martin, our good buddy Steve Martin, is going to be with us. Steve is with the Positive Way. It's an outstanding organization. He's going to be continuing our series with Steve on cost-cutting programs, cost reduction programs, how to put more money on the bottom line. But right now, we're still visiting with our very good friend Harold Lacy. He's the author of Financing Your Business Dreams with Other People's Money. Harold, I enjoyed visiting with Mary, our caller. And we're going to get her a copy of your book right out this week. And you know, one of the things that's interesting about her question about her son-in-law who's thinking about is going to expand his ultralight business a little bit, ultralight aircraft, two things that's probably going to make that go a lot better, make that business be viable. Number one is people like to fly.
Mm-hmm.
And general aviation has gotten so expensive. I mean, even a little 172 costs you $75,000 these days, a used one, a little Cessna 172, and you can buy these ultralights a lot cheaper. But here's one other thing that really attracts a lot of people to those ultralights. You can put a parachute on them.
Mm. Well, <babe.
laughs> so if the engine fails, you just pull the ripcord and parachute down. Harold, we've just got a couple of minutes. Talk to us about some of the biggest mistakes made by entrepreneurs in trying to get potential investors.
Sure. One of the things that I see probably the most often is they don't have some type of written agreement as to the role the investor plays and the exit of the investor, how they're going to get paid. It's one of those assumptions the fatal assumptions
mm-hmm.
they make of, well, we'll work that out later on.
Right.
And they need to be on the same page. That's probably the biggest thing, putting things right. It didn't have to be a formal legalese type of written document, just something where they've mutually agreed the role that each is going to play in this venture, because the entrepreneur needs to be in control and does not need sometimes someone looking over their shoulder. Sometimes they do want that, so it needs to be spelled out at the beginning so there isn't any problems.
You know, that's such an excellent point, Harold, because one of the things that I like to emphasize to people is that before you even do a contract, show them on your cash flow statement how they're going to get their money back, when you think they're going to get their money back, when they're going to be exiting the company.
Absolutely.
And show them on the financial statements before you ever show them a contract.
Because the investor might be expecting, because of retirement or some other issues coming up, that they're going to be needing their money within, let's say, 4 to 5 years.
Yep.
Where the entrepreneur might think, well, they're in this for a lifetime. And
I agree with your terminology. I think that is a fatal error because it really makes the entrepreneur look a lot more savvy.
Exactly.
If they tell their investor, now look, this is when I plan to get you out. Even if the investor ultimately says, wait a minute, I don't want to get out. I want to stay in this thing till we take it public. That's fine. That's a mind that can be changed later. But right now, the entrepreneur needs to assume that the investor is going to want to get out.
Exactly. And a lot of times the investor wants to be involved, not so much as a financial type of thing, but as we've talked about, is that they want to be identified and they want to give back some of the things that they've been blessed with and have accumulated over time that they want to give back to someone else. That's
exactly
the motive of these people.
Well said, Harold. Harold, I got to wrap it up. It's 58 after. Thank you for being with us today.
As always,
you've done a great job.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Harold. Folks, that's Harold Lacy. He's the author of Financing Your Business Dreams with Other People's Money, a book I recommend to you. Right now, I got to go. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest country in the world. And remember today, be guilty of committing a random act of kindness. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.